Back when I was in about the eighth grade, there was a show on television about a father and son, and it's a Western, and they were both gunfighters. I forget the old man's name that was the father, but his key line was, "No brag, just fact." It's no brag that my son's a faster draw than you are. It's just a fact. We have been so conditioned by songs, and Sammy and I have talked about it. The number he just gave me is proof of it. I can prove that we are conditioned by songs with two words. One word, a song we just sang a few weeks or so ago, "Pierced." The song "Pierced" has two notes, so it has to be "Pierced." And we're so conditioned by our singing that when my daughter was about 12, she came up to her mother and said she wanted to get her ears pierced. So you can see how conditioned she was. The other word that we're conditioned by songs is "blessed." Blessed. Again, blessed, because it has two notes most of the time. We just sang the song here right before it. Before I came up, had the word "blessed" in it. But it's just blessed. I mean, it's okay. It doesn't bother me that much. But tonight, I went home today when I found out I was going to preach tonight and prepared a lesson, a 12-page report, 12-page lesson that I've had thoughts of for a long time. And I guarantee you, no brag, just fact, this will be the best sermon you've ever heard. This will be the best sermon you've ever heard. Now, if you will, open your Bibles to Matthew 5. Paul, quit smiling. Matthew 5. We'll start out in verse 1, go all the way through 5, 6, and 7. So now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples, now a lot of times we get this mixed up with his apostles, because he didn't call them apostles till later on in his, what's the word I'm looking for? His preaching. But a disciple is just a follower, learner, is all that that means. All these people were followers, learners. They came to hear Jesus. They came to hear him preach. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. And he said, now here's the word, blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Well, that would make me blessed. That ought to make everybody blessed. Verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, hunger and thirst for right living, for they will be filled, because they're going after it. Verse 7, blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Wow, the pure in heart, they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are all the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. We want people to see our good deeds so they'll glorify God. Verse 17, do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets. I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For truly I tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not the smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, anyone who sets aside one of the least of these commands and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven, but whoever practices and teaches these commands will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You know, we've got a lot of this going on today. People, even in the churches of Christ, think that they know better than God knows. And they want to substitute things for God has told us for what God has told us to do. They want to substitute their own opinions on things. That is just not biblical. And God told them several different places, a couple of times in Deuteronomy, in Revelation, you don't add to this book or take anything away from it. Otherwise, you'll be subject to the plagues in this book. That was from Revelation. Verse 21, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with a brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, raka, now raka is an Aramaic term for contempt, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says you fool will be in danger of the fire of hell. Pretty straightforward, isn't it? Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar and there, remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. First go and be reconciled to them, then come and offer your gift. Verse 25. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you're still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks at a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. And if your right hand causes you to stumble, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. Now remember, this is Jesus talking. He's talking directly to them and to us because we are follower learners, just like his disciples were. It has been said, anyone who divorces his wife must give her a certificate of divorce. That was under the Mosaic law. Jesus said, but I tell you that anyone who divorces his wife, except for sexual immorality, makes her the victim of adultery, and anyone who marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Chapter 5, verse 33. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by the earth, for it is his footstool. Remember that word. The earth is God's footstool. Think about what God told Jesus. You come and sit here until I make your enemies my footstool. For by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. And do not swear by your head, for you cannot make even one hair white or black. All you need to say is simply yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. Verse 38, you have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and tooth for tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. Give to the one who asks you, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect or be complete, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. Okay, Matthew chapter 6, verse 1. Be careful not to practice your righteousness in front of others to be seen of them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. You've got your reward if all you want to do is to be seen by others. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets to be honored by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. Verse 5, and when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Your Father knows what you need before you ask him. The Holy Spirit intercedes for you and takes your prayers to God and makes them such that they relate to God's will. The Holy Spirit does that for us. Matthew 6:9. This then is how you should pray, Jesus said. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is. That it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. He just lays it all out for us, doesn't he? Just as plain as it can be. Verse 16, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Verse 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. make sure your heart is heaven bound. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. You can't serve them both. Many people misquote this idea of money being the root of all evil, but it's not. It's the love of money, your attitude toward money. You make it your idol, then it's evil. Matthew 6:25, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than the clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you be worrying at a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow? They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Why do you look at the speck of sawdust in your brother's eye and pay no attention to the plank in your own eye? How can you say to your brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when all the time there is a plank, a whole plank, in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. Chapter 7, verse 6. Do not give dogs what is sacred. Do not throw your pearls to pigs. If you do, they may trample them under their feet and turn and tear you to pieces. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Verse 9, which of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will you give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate, and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes, or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. It's not this verse. And I didn't take the time to look it up, but there's another verse that's similar to this. It says that Jesus will come and he will take his people. He will clean out the good from the bad. good will be saved and the bad will be thrown into the fire. And someone told me one time that we're not really saved until we've been tested by that fire. Just completely misconstrued the whole meaning of the passage. I don't want any part of that fire. Jesus is going to throw things in that fire that are not going to go back to heaven with him. You don't want any part of that fire. Look at Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and in your name perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against the house, yet it did not fall because it had its foundations on the rock. One time I was staining some brick that came out a little off color, and I was way up on a ladder on a chimney. We were trying to make these brick blend in with the ones below it. And I happened to notice a guy over behind me was digging, had just finished digging his footings and putting the rebar in, which makes the footings, the concrete with the rebar in it, makes them a lot stronger. And I went on doing what I was doing. A little while later, the inspector came out and inspected it. I guess he accepted it because he left. But as soon as he left, I saw the guy taking all the steel out of it. He subjected that house to some bad problems to save about $80 in rebar, probably on a $200,000 or $300,000 house then. $80 and risk the house falling in like the next one's going to do. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. Verse 28, when Jesus had finished saying these things, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. He even impressed the scribes and the Pharisees by the way he taught and the stories that he taught. I told you it was going to be the best lesson you've ever heard. Sermon on the Mount. You can use this if you want to, Paul. It's... It's in your book there. But Sermon on the Mount, Jesus gave a common, ordinary, common sense lesson. And a lot of people heard it that day. A lot of disciples sit down. It's funny, you can look out on this crowd, I use the word loosely, and you know that everyone here has been saved. Everyone here has been baptized. And yet some of us may have fallen away a little bit. You need to respond. Jesus gives us a second chance. We just ask him for forgiveness. And it's allowed.